You know, love really is the golden chain that binds our hearts to God and to one another, and how thankful and grateful we are. But you know, as human beings, we all have frailties. We all at times get upset with each other, and perhaps we say things that we wish we had not said, or we do things oftentimes that we look back on with much regret, and we say we wish that we had never done that. And maybe there are times when we have left off doing things that we really felt in our heart maybe we should have done, and we just omitted. You know, the word forgiveness, is a great word. It is a great word. And it's a great thought. But it's a tough thing to do at times. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I find it hard to forgive certain people. We talked about that in our Bible class this morning. We talked about how important it is for us to really be forgiving. It is a big word. Big word. And it probably is one of the greatest commands that Jesus Christ ever gave to you and to me. In Matthew 5, when he says that we're to love our enemies and to pray for them that despitefully use us and speak all manner of evil against us falsely, for great is your reward in heaven. We must be forgiving. People have often asked the question, what is forgiveness anyway? Well, let me share with you this morning about this subject, because I think it is such an important thing. And there are a lot of misnomers out there about this word. When we forgive other people, what does that really, really mean? It means that rage does not consume us. Sometimes when people are offended, they are filled with rage and hostility toward other people. But when you really forgive one another, as God forgives us, rage does not consume us, vengeance does not tempt us. Sometimes people say, well, I was tempted to get even. Well, we all are. But arrogance does not control us. When we forgive other people, and believe it or not, we become more like our Lord Jesus Christ when we can learn to forgive more than in any other time in our life. You see, the weak can never, ever forgive. They don't, but they're the weak ones. But forgiveness is the attribute of those who are strong, spiritually speaking. What does it really mean to be willing and ready to forgive? Now, that's our topic this morning. What does it really mean when a person or an individual is willing and ready to forgive? I've heard people say, well, I can forgive people if they repent, or I can forgive people if they come crawling down to me and say, I'm sorry for what I did. But unless they are willing to prostrate themselves and come to my feet at my beckoning call, then I cannot forgive them. But that is not the attitude of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. To the contrary, Jesus taught about forgiveness. And as a matter of fact, do you know that Jesus spoke many, many times about this subject? And the reason he did is because a lot of people had great difficulty comprehending it and really getting in to this thing of forgiveness. If you have your Bibles, or if you want to shift your eyes up here, we have it on the PowerPoint this morning. In the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 23, Jesus said something about forgiveness. Parabolically, he said that therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now think about the enormity of this debt. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded that he be sold, his wife and his children and all that he had, that payment be made. But the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him, and he forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. How's that compared to 10,000 talents? And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But he went and he cast him into prison till all the debt should be paid. So when his fellow servants saw what this man had done, they were very sorry. And they came and they told their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that, he called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desired it of me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And then Jesus says, after giving that parable, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you do not from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. Let me tell you by, first of all, number one, telling you what forgiveness is not. We have trouble understanding and comprehending what forgiveness is, but you know, sometimes we have trouble understanding what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not approving, excusing, or even overlooking the offense. I'm sure in your mind right now, if you wanted to, you could go back in the reservoir of your mind or into your mental computer and you can pull it up. Terrible, horrible things that have happened to you in the past. But you don't dwell on it. But that doesn't mean you ever totally forget it. I've heard people say, well, you have to forgive and forget. Well, let's understand that word forgetting. The word forget does not mean that you totally put it out of your mind. But the word forget in the Greek language means that you don't hold it against someone. You forget it in that sense. It's like in the book of Jeremiah 31, where God says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember against them no more. God didn't say he wouldn't remember. As a matter of fact, God has preserved for us in the Holy Bible a number of things. He reserved for us the betrayal of his beloved son Jesus by Judas, and even by the apostle Peter, who was forgiven of his sin of denying Jesus, but he never forgot it. There have been a lot of things that have happened in my mind that I will never ever forget. It's not something that I sit around and dwell on or think about all the time, but I have forgotten it in the sense that I hold it against them, and I'm not going to, because I want my Lord to forgive me. Forgiveness is not approving or excusing or overlooking the offense. It is not forgetting the offense. It is not ceasing to feel the pain. Because I'm going to tell you something. People can hurt you, and that hurt becomes very deep within our soul and within our spirit. And you may feel the pain. It is not trusting the offender. I've heard people say, well, you just should forget it and just go back to trusting the offender. God's not saying that. Forgiveness is not trust, is built over a period of time. It is not trusting the offender. But forgiveness is not neglecting justice either. Sometimes people say, well, you know, who's going to take care of them? Let's leave it up to God. It is not right for us to render evil for evil. It is not right for us to act unjustly because other people act that way. Well, if that's the case, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is, let me tell you, forgiveness is canceling the debt. That's what forgiveness is. Do you know that many people carry around a debt forever? And I've heard people even say, I can never forgive him or I can never forgive her as long as I live. Many of us need to cancel the debt that is held against other people and begin to live again. There was a story one time about an African woman who gave her life to Jesus Christ. Her husband, who was chief of the Zulu tribe, when she told him what she had done, the chief beat that woman brutally. And as she lay dying on the floor, her husband turned to her and said, "Now what can your Jesus do?" And she said, "He can help me forgive you." Forgiveness. You know, people worry about a lot of things in life that are needless to worry about. We can't possibly do anything at all about. Some people fear the national debt. How many of y'all know we have a national debt? Y'all aware of that? I didn't know if that was late breaking news to you or not. But we have a national debt. And as of last December, the 26th, the day after Christmas, our national debt became $17,258,007,239,339.91. The reason I stumbled at that, I haven't seen that kind of check since I saw David Sparks' last paycheck. Now, believe it or not, the estimated population of the United States of America is 317,316,885. Now, that translates into $54,387.30 for each citizen of the country. That is father, mother, and child, or each child. And as that national debt has escalated, it has continued to increase at a rate of $2.64 billion a day since September the 30th, 2012. Now, I don't know of anyone that's going to forgive us of that. And that really is not the major issue. Some people, their greatest fear is the national debt. It is. To many, their greatest fear is their personal debt. And that's why they cut up their credit cards. Or if your wife is a spender, you cut them up. Or vice versa. But thank God for some people who will burn the debt that they owe, that other people owe them. And sometimes that debt is real large. Sometimes we're willing to burn the debt if it's small. But we're not willing to burn the debt if it's large. But you know what? Our greatest fear should be to hold a debt against someone, spiritually speaking. That's true. You know why? Because, listen, when you hold something against someone all of your life, you will end up losing your soul in a devil's hell. Why do you think Christ taught so much on the subject of forgiveness? So you'd go to heaven. Forgiveness is not something we do for ourselves or for other people. We should do it for ourselves so we can enjoy the peace that God wants us to experience in life. You know, I know one thing, that when you live with an unforgiving spirit, you cannot have peace in your heart at the same time. It is not going to happen. It's not. Someone said the first to apologize, listen to this, is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. Do you realize that when we are weighed down by a tremendous debt, and there have been times in life, we have been, weighed down by a tremendous debt we could not pay, Jesus paid it all. He did. And you know what he says to us through his death on the cross? That you and I are debt free. Debt free. He went to the cross and he gave his life upon the cross to pay our sin debt that we could not pay. But why should I be so eager to forgive? Well, first of all, to be more like my Lord. You know, I'm not really interested in being like the world. You know, sometimes we justify our actions by saying, well, everybody does this, or this is the way everybody thinks. And, you know, we live in a democracy and everybody says, well, that's the way everybody thinks and that means that's okay. No, it's not okay. I should be eager to forgive because I want to be more like my Lord, and I don't want to be corrupted in my life, secondly. And I'm telling you, an unforgivable, listen, resentful heart will corrupt you inside out. But let me tell you something else it does. Now, whether you believe this or not, it's true. I want to be eager to forgive because I know that it encourages repentance on the part of the offender. And you may say, well, I've heard that all my life. I know that's what preachers say. But let me tell you why I know it's true. Because the Word of God says it's true. Look in the book of Romans 12:20. Paul says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. I want to be quick to forgive because I want to receive the spiritual blessings of Almighty God, the blessing of peace and joy and unhindered prayers. Do you realize I know that my prayer doesn't get any higher than this ceiling up here if I have an unforgiving spirit? I know it's true because Jesus said, forgive men that your heavenly Father might forgive you. And if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses. In his book entitled Lee, The Last Years, Charles Sludd, and he wrote a lot about Robert E. Lee. He talks about Lee visiting actually a Kentucky lady. One time, the lady carried him out to a beautiful, what was it one time? A beautiful old oak tree in front of her house. And there she stood with Lee and she bitterly cried. Because she said, just look at this tree. Look at the limbs and even the trunk of this tree that had been destroyed by federal artillery fire or by the Yankees. And she looked to Lee, hoping that he would also offer some kind of condemning word, sympathizing with her loss. And after a brief silence, General Robert E. Lee said to her, "Cut it down, dear madam, and forget it." He said, "It is better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain and let bitterness take root and poison us the rest of our lives." I want the spiritual blessings of God. And I'm going to tell you something. When I have a heart that harbors ill will and resentment and hostility and unforgiveness, I can't have this. It doesn't belong to the unforgiving. Only to the forgiving. But then thirdly, sometimes people say, "Well, you know what? It's just so hard for me to forgive." Well, let me tell you something. Join the crowd. Forgiveness doesn't come easy for anyone. Christ knew it. But when forgiveness is hard, or when it is difficult for you to forgive, you should ask yourself these questions. How would I want to be treated if the roles were reversed? How would you want to be treated? Would you want someone to forgive you? Or would you want them to harbor ill will against you? In the book of Romans, chapter 5, the Bible says that God has forgiven me while I was a sinner. Romans 5:8, he says, that God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And then it brings me to another question. When it's hard for me to forgive, you ought to ask yourself this question. How important is it for me to go to heaven? And if God says an unforgiving spirit will keep you out of heaven, how important is it for you to go to heaven? Do you know the Bible is filled with example after example of people who were done treacherously, who were treated awful, but could manifest a forgiving spirit? I think of Stephen and the Jews. You remember Stephen? One of the first deacons in Jerusalem. Preacher, like Philip. He had preached Jesus. He had told them what they really were. They didn't like to hear his sermon. It was only a one-point sermon. Wouldn't brethren have loved that today? But it was one point. You are lost and you are condemned because you have crucified Christ. The Bible says they gnashed upon him with their teeth and they stoned him to death. And in the process of doing all that, the Bible says in verse 60 here of Acts chapter 7, that he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, saying, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said that, he fell asleep. What a way and go to go and meet the Lord. Asking God to forgive other people. I think of Jacob and Esau. Most of us remember the story of Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac. And we remember how Jacob had absconded the birthright from his brother Esau. And you may say, "Oh, well, you remember now, he made a deal with his brother Esau, and a deal is a deal." for a mess of pottage. He sold his birthright, and then he went and deceived his own father as he lay on his deathbed. And Esau and Jacob stay estranged from one another year after year after year. But the time finally came when Esau came back to see his brother. And the Bible says that in the process of coming back home to his brother, that Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. You suppose maybe Esau said, "I'm sorry"? And do you suppose maybe Jacob said, "I'm sorry"? He said, "For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God." And thou was pleased with me. Genesis 33:10. God is willing and ready to forgive us if we follow his plan for forgiveness. You know, you don't have to rush out and do cartwheels and jump through hoops and all those kind of things to be forgiven by God. Because our forgiveness is not predicated upon the works of merit that we're able to accomplish in this great life that merits our salvation or would cause us to feel that we have deserved that right to go to heaven. But our forgiveness is based upon hearing the word of God. No man can go to heaven short of it. For the Bible says that you won't even have faith without hearing it. For Romans 10:17 says, "For listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord." You can't go to heaven without faith, because you have to believe in your heart. Acts 16 and verse 31. When that jailer came rushing out of that jail that had been opened by a tremendous earthquake, and he fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said unto him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they took him the same hour of the night and washed his stripes where they had been beaten, and he was baptized for the remission of his sin. He believed with all of his heart because he heard that word. God is willing and ready to forgive us when we confess our faith in his Son. Isn't he? Isn't that really what he said? For in Matthew 10:32, he said that if you confess me before the Father and before men here, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you by chance deny me, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. God is ready and willing to forgive if we will obey his command to be baptized for the remission of sins. For in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible even goes on to say, "The like figure wherein even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ." How important is baptism? It's extremely important because it is something that Christ commanded. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's pretty important, isn't it? Isn't it important because Jesus in the book of Matthew 28 said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." He is quick and ready to forgive us if we remain faithful to him. To those seven churches in Asia, John would write to one these immortal words in the book of Revelation 2 and verse 10. He would say, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." How important is faithfulness? How important is it for you to go to heaven? We all are, as I told you at the very outset, in the beginning of this lesson this morning, all of us have sinned. We've all stood in need of forgiveness. I don't care who we are. And if we err, the Bible says that we are to repent and pray for forgiveness. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. When Simon sinned against God and against the Holy Spirit, he was told to repent and pray God that even the very thought of his heart might be forgiven him. You see, in reality, God has a gift for you today. He does. God has the gift of forgiveness. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. Now, a gift is something you don't have to earn. I'm going to tell you something. If someone gives you a gift, it is not something that you paid for, but someone else paid for it. It is not something that the person giving it to you owes you. It is a gift. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 and following, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. Not by works, it is the gift of God." The gift of God. But one must be baptized into Christ in order to receive that gift. That's not too hard to understand. I don't know why people make such a big issue about the thing of baptism. Whether you should or whether you shouldn't. The Bible says you should, and that's the way it is. I accept it and go on. Why would I debate with someone over why I didn't have to do what Jesus told me to do? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense to me. I want to do what Christ told me. I don't want to debate with someone about why I don't have to do it. But I want to debate with someone and tell them why I need to do it, because Jesus commanded it and I must do it. And that's what he said. If I had a gift for you this morning, you didn't earn it, and I said, it's yours, come take it. If you had to open that package up, you didn't earn it by opening the package. It was a gift to you. And God says, "I have a gift for you. It is forgiveness of sins." And you open that package by receiving my son Jesus and obeying his word. That's pretty understandable, folks. And when one has sinned either by word or action or attitude, he must confess this sin and then repent. That means to change. And then pray to God and seek the forgiveness of our Father who is in heaven. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. For John says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus shed his blood. When I think of the blood drops of my Savior and my Lord, and I think about the peace that he brings to us, why would I not want his gift? Why would I not? Yet sometimes people never even read the Bible. And they may never ever know of God's love for them. A childhood accident one time caused poet Elizabeth Barrett to lead a life of semi-invalidism before she married Robert Browning in the year 1846. But there's more to this story, actually, than just her marriage. Because when she was a young lady, Elizabeth had been watched over by her tyrannical father day in and day out. And when she and Robert decided that they were going to get married, and they were married in holy wedlock, in a secret wedding, because of her father's disapproval. After the wedding, the Brownings sailed for Italy, where they lived the rest of their lives. But even though Elizabeth's parents had disowned her, Elizabeth never gave up on the relationship. Almost weekly, she wrote them letters, but not once did they reply. And after 10 years, think about it, after 10 years, she received a large box in the mail. And inside, Elizabeth found all of the letters that she had written to her parents, letters that had never been opened. And today, those letters are among the most beautiful in classical English literature. Had her parents only read one of them, their relationship with Elizabeth just might have been restored. If people were to just open the pages of God's Word and read about the love of God, like we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 that says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be the children of God." Are there things this morning for which you need forgiveness? Are there? Are you things that you need to let go of and experience the peace of God? You see, when we turn to God, that peace just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies again and again and again. And God asks you this morning, will you receive His gift of love, His gift of forgiveness, the gift of life eternal, by submitting to His will, His plan, to be immersed or baptized for the remission of your sins? Or if you're here and you desire the prayers of the Lord's church in your behalf for forgiveness, to help you have a heart of forgiveness, or if you're here and you'd like to place membership with this congregation to labor and work with us in the vineyard of God and preach this gospel that we've been preaching to you this morning and have for over 40 years, and folks, I hadn't changed a position. God hadn't changed His. I hope you'll come while we stand and while we sing.